Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody, and it is a good Friday morning after last night's events. A lot of NFL stuff, college basketball, obviously, baseball heading our way as well. So we got a lot to talk about, and if you ever want to get in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. But we start with the NCAA tournament, and we had a couple of huge upsets. None bigger than St. Peter's last night, beating Kentucky, Lance, in overtime. And Doug Eddard, the star of the show, Bergen Catholic's own, Doug Eddard, with a couple of huge
threes.
Who
else is from Bergen Catholic?
Tony the Hatchet Valentine.
And who else?
Brian Cushing.
It's a famous, it's a really famous high school in New Jersey. He hits. You're right. It was upset city yesterday. We had some.
Almost got crazy with Vermont.
Vermont was never going to be an easy out. Vermont was always going to be tough. But it could have. Yeah, it could have. It could have been even more. But UConn was knocked out yesterday. So that number five seed is gone. We got Kentucky, a number two, knocked out yesterday by St. Pete and Doug Eddard. And Doug Eddard, if you didn't see him, wispy mustache. He's got a very much like if his hair is kind of, he's almost got like a halfway, not intentional, but it's just kind of turning into a middle part. It's got a little bit of an Uncle Rico vibe from Napoleon Dynamite, his hair. But this kid who doesn't look like he would be a sniper was hitting these 28-foot threes on Kentucky. One of them when they were in overtime and Kentucky was up 6 points. And if St. Pete misses here, the game's probably over. And he comes and splashes a three. He had two different threes. He got fouled on a three-pointer and made all three free throws. Like, this guy. And then after the game, he was interviewed. And all I could hear was, you know, he's just like, you know, we had a great opportunity. We got on the ground after the ball. We played together as a team. We moved the basketball around the top, you know, shot. And I'm like, oh, my God. I've heard this before, and I was and all of a sudden, Allie LaForce or whoever it was says, boy, this is quite an unbelievable upset. You've never seen anything like this since your days of Bergen Catholic. I'm like, Bergen Catholic? Oh, my God. He's a New Jersey kid. I didn't know St. Peter's was a New Jersey school.
It absolutely. Hey,
isn't it? I mean, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And when he was talking, all I could hear was Tony. All I could hear was, you know, we're a team that never gives up. We believe in each other. Oh, we feel like we got a great chance to win anytime we step on the court. So, and I'm like, oh my God, of course this kid wasn't scared to take shots.
No, he wasn't scared at all.
He's related to Tony.
He came off the bench. 5 of 7, 2 for 2 from three. He also had 4 rebounds and a huge, huge, Kentucky will never forget Doug Eddard ever as they move on. It started slowly, although Gonzaga had a scare. They were only up 2 at the half against Georgia State, and then they pulled away in the second half. Baylor just destroyed Norfolk State, Tennessee. It was going along rather pedestrian. Providence got the benefit of a big call on a leg kick on a three-pointer that really shut down South Dakota State. Although South Dakota State, who shoots 45% from three, was only 30% yesterday.
No, that was the key. If they didn't shoot well from three, they were going to get beat, and they didn't shoot well from three, although they stuck around. But the two interesting games because of three-point shooting was Belmont. You knew that one in South Dakota State were the two where you thought, okay, three-pointers could make the difference here in upsets. But Providence, too many. The guy sent me a direct message saying, hey, just want to let you know my wife and I are from – you know, went to school there. We're big PC fans. We watch every game. He goes, they're not losing this game. He goes, this team has a lot of super seniors and senior-laden team. Of all of the teams we've seen, you know, this is a team that's very mentally tough. And they played like it. I mean, they hung in.
A couple of weeks ago, a guy asked me, he said, he's a gambler. He loves to play. And he said, what do you think about this Providence team? I think I'm going to ride them for a while in the tournament. And I was like, I don't know enough about them. I really don't. I haven't watched them play this year. And he was like, I really like them. Hey, that was South Dakota State was a tough, tough matchup, and Providence came through. And then there was the Iowa-Richmond game, which Richmond comes back and beats Iowa 67-63. Listen, Tony, our good friend Concept Mayhem, he is a huge Iowa fan. Iowa got in, and because I said Iowa won the Big Ten tournament by banking in a shot, right? And I was like, well, you know, I mean, come on, he banked it in. Did he call it? You know, I mean, that's a little bit lucky to win the Big Ten tournament that way. And you would have thought I stabbed him in the neck by saying something
you
like
did,
that.
You did, and then yesterday you called them, and I quote, shippy Wisconsin.
No, you know, you brought that to the table.
That was your quote.
I never
yesterday.
Even heard that before you said it yesterday.
You were saying it. People were saying it. They were saying it.
No, I never even heard that expression. It kind of fits. But then Tony sent me a kind of a scathing, you know, oh, Johnny's going to bet on, I'm sure he's got thousands on Richmond because they're because Iowa's such a fraud.
And then bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Sorry, Tone. But Iowa goes down the 5 seed against a 12 again. Is it not? It's almost a lock. It's a lock. If you bet every 12 seed, you are going to at least win one, perhaps two games. Now, that's not great. Those aren't great odds. But it's a lock that a 12 wins every single year. And then the 13s were feisty as well. The 13s were really feisty yesterday, and Vermont gave Arkansas all they could handle right up until the very end, and Arkansas prevailed 75-71. St. Mary's, Indiana was a 12 seed. That one wasn't close. St. Mary's destroyed Indiana, 82-53. Murray State with a big win over San Francisco. They're a 7 seed. The Racers are a pretty good team now.
What was the final score in that one? I couldn't stand for it.
It was 92-87. They like the score now. They're gonna push it. And then another 12. New Mexico State beats UConn.
Mm-hmm.
70-63. So
I'll tell you who looked good yesterday.
The dogs were barking.
The team that looked the best that I thought, and you know, and big ups to Michigan and Juwan? Yeah, Juwan making it back.
Yeah.
But it was kind of went under the radar.
Well, he got back for the Big Ten tournament.
They allowed him to coach Big Ten tournament?
Yeah. He missed the last six
games. I didn't realize he was in for Big Ten tournament. Yeah. But they were getting beat pretty handily at halftime, and they came storming back. They had a great – but the team that looked the best, and the one that – I know you and I briefly mentioned this, North Carolina. Man, it was a game for about the first 9 or 10 minutes, and then they smashed – I mean, Marquette couldn't score. Marquette could not score the rest of the half on them. And that is a very, you know, it is very strange watching college basketball, especially blue blood programs, including Kentucky and North Carolina, where you see there's legitimate post play again. Like there's, and maybe it's never gone away. In the NBA, it's kind of gone away, although it's making a return, but with the caveat of the big men also shoot threes.
Well, they also face the basket more.
Much more faced up. You got back to the basket game. In college. I mean, you've got North Carolina was going back to the basket with a couple bigs. Kentucky did. You still have blue blood programs that will run that have not changed. They look for 6 foot, 10, 11, 7 foot guys who block shots, rebound. Coach K is not going to change his methodology of basketball. You may have it to some degree with Calipari, but they still know a good dominant big man is going to be way better against this level of competition.
I think we're having a resurgence of the big man. When you look at the NBA with Embiid and Jokic, and you're looking, those are the two MVP favorites?
No question. But
Giannis?
But what we see, there's return of the big man without question. But I think what's interesting to me is that you got some back-to-the-basket non-three-point shooting big men, like guys who are taking jump hooks in the paint. Now, you have it in college. It doesn't translate as much to the pros. But I am interested to see if these new group of big men Like my son has a basketball team. He's a manager on a basketball team, and they got a big man. His dad played basketball at like Southeast Louisiana, and or Southwest Louisiana, and he was a big man in college. Well, his son plays true back to the basket basketball, and he's good. He's a sophomore, but he has drop steps. He has, you know, he has inside pivots. He has jump hooks. Like it's strange to see it again, because at one point I just thought, I guess just all big men will just die out. You'll be big, but you'll have guard skills now. It's all going to be Anthony Davis from now on. But maybe it won't be. But there were some it was good games. There were good games yesterday. It was a fun time. I missed out on some of the early games. I was keeping track on my computer. That was basketball. Today we have day two of March Madness. I always consider Thursday, Friday the official, like, that's March Madness to me. I know it's Saturday, Sunday also, but it's the first 2 days. It's the rapid fire.
No, this is the best.
And all the overtimes yesterday, what, three overtime?
Yeah.
No, there's two for sure, but I think it was three overtimes.
This is fun.
Three overtimes yesterday. So we had the upsets of big seeds. We have guys we never heard of with mustaches. That's what March Madness is about. But today, today's not just for March Madness. It's the decision part two. Jim Gray has been called in. He's supposed to be flying in. They're shipping in girls from Cleveland's Boys and Girls Club. Deshaun, they're doing the decision part two again, where you remember when LeBron was going to take his talents to South Beach?
And he made the decision.
It was a big made-for-TV spectacle, right. And Jim Gray came in to host it, and the Boys and Girls Club of Cleveland was there. And Deshaun had to take his talents, and then that's basically what it's turning into now with Deshaun. We are getting reports that Deshaun is so torn, he just can't decide between which team.
Well, now.
And like, now it's between Atlanta and New Orleans.
But now we got the rap world involved.
And now rappers are getting involved in this, and it's so very exciting. And I wish Deshaun could stay so we could keep more of this drama. Like, we only got a little taste with his... You know, with his 2 Chainz lyrics or whatever it was, Future is Future. You know, when he would post Future lyrics and we were like, what does he mean? What does this all mean? But it was scary also because we didn't know if Deshaun was mad at us or Deshaun or Bill O'Brien or if he was mad at somebody on the team. We just knew that there was some subtweeting going on involving rap lyrics. And now Quavo is involved. Lil Baby is involved with this. Atlanta rappers are trying to bring Deshaun back home. Members of the Atlanta sports community and rap world are all working hard to make this a reality. We as Texans fans just watch and wonder, like, that's our guy. You know, it's like, it's sad to see him go because this is such a fun roller coaster, but it's a fun trip for all of us.
It really is.
It really is. And he
I'm going to miss it.
Man, it's almost exactly like when he was winning a national championship at Clemson. Just a fun, wholesome experience for everyone. I mean, minus obviously the 22 lawsuits and the lurid details and the grinding on Instagram videos and the finger stuff.
Are you not going to miss
the small towels?
The day-to-day tediousness of the...
Yes!
Yes.
That's why I hope this gets dragged out until Sunday. Like, what is it now? Because Josina Anderson's all excited. She's got tweets going out. Jeremy Fowler. Like, what is happening? This is amazing. What a time to be alive for everyone for all Texans fans and everyone that loves Deshaun. I can tell you this, no facetiousness in this comment. I am now seeing people who said, yeah, I was a firm Deshaun Watson backer, and even I'm out now. Like, this is gone. This is way too much. This big? Like, this is getting worse. This is getting worse than the hats at high schools. Like, this is a grown-ass man that is now... This is now becoming, I'm not even joking, this is like The Bachelor, like, it's down to two. Cleveland has been eliminated. They didn't get a rose. It's down to,
and now they
it's down to three. Matt Rhule and Carolina.
And now they got to go back to Baker, who's crying in the corner.
Oh, it's
and they
got to
try
line.
To make up. This is The Bachelor.
It's a new storyline. What's wrong? Get the cameras out of here. But the mics are still on. Yeah. So here, what's wrong? They just didn't want me. I don't want to be in a place where they don't want me anymore. Well, I can tell you this, Baker. We do want you, and we're not trading you, no matter what your agent said. Because yesterday Cleveland came out and said, we're not What? Giving into his a lot happened yesterday, guys.
We got okay. We're gonna do
it. The trade demand for Baker. God, John! I just wish. Can we combine breaks? There's so much to talk about. Can we combine breaks, please?
Can we take a break? And when we come back, we got a lot to do. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. My people over at Chastain Ford are the best. I love them.
People going places and crying and trade requests. No. So you're going to just sell people cars?
It's a lot more exciting than that crap, if you want to know the truth.
You're just 0% sell cars?
Financing for 60 months. Nothing down. No payments for 90 days. Okay? No, they never take offers off the table, ever. So this is what I'm talking about with Chastain Ford, is you can count on them. You can't count on these guys. You can't count on any team. You can't count on any player anymore, but you can count on Chastain Ford because they're the best. I love them. You will love them. I love the fact that listen, what they say they're going to do for you, they're going to do. There's no dealer add-ons. There's no markups, okay, of $5,000, $10,000. They're going to give you the best deal they can possibly give you. They're going to give you rebates when they're available. The other dealerships are not doing this. What they're doing is they're just globbing on, just adding on as much as they possibly can to make as much as they possibly can because it's too hard. And Chastain Ford ain't whining like that. Chastain Ford saying, we're still giving you the best deal in the city of Houston, period, exclamation point. So if you're looking for that best deal, you want zero down, you want zero payments for 90 days, you want no inch, are you kidding me? All you got to do is go to ChastainFord.com or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On the show before ours, Keyshawn and Jay were having a conversation, and of course, Keyshawn just... whatever. They were talking about Davante Adams, and Davante Adams told the Packers in no uncertain terms, it was certain, I am not playing for you again. I'm not playing under the franchise tag.
And they couldn't do a long-term deal for the money.
And it, yeah,
there's
it,
no money.
They just
because you know who got it.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers got it. And allegedly Aaron Rodgers knew that they weren't bringing back Davante Adams, so don't feel bad for Aaron Rodgers after he signed his $150 million deal. So, but the question was asked, you know, what happened to today's athletes? Is there no middle ground? Is there no way, is this an untenable situation where Baker Mayfield says, I'm not playing for you anymore, I'm gone. Davante Adams says, I'm not playing for the franchise tag, I'm gone. James Harden, I'm not playing for you, I'm gone. Deshaun Watson, I'm not playing for you, I'm gone. Jalen Ramsey, I'm not playing for you. In Gakwe, I'm not playing for you. I'm gone. And writes things about the owner's son and tweets about things about the owner's son. And you know what? And Keyshawn just said, "Oh, it's every individual, and you gotta watch, and you gotta really approach these young men and say the right things because whatever." Nowadays, listen, the player has become so empowered. That he's taking his ball, he's going home, he ain't playing no more, and that's all there is to it. And you have got no choice in this matter anymore.
Yeah.
And Davante Adams said, I ain't playing on the franchise tag, get rid of me.
Now, he's not the first guy to do that.
No, absolutely not.
I remember Chris.
Wait a minute. Plenty of guys have done it before. They said, okay, you're not playing on the franchise tag, then you'll sit. And they ended up coming back. There are plenty of guys who the team stood firm.
The Packers still could have done that, but I think the Packers wisely understood we can get a first and a second for this guy.
Well,
I think that's the big differentiating. Yeah. Now, had this been his fourth year in the league, you're getting rid of the best wide receiver in the NFL. But if this had
for
been
a first and a second, fourth, you're losing on the deal.
I know, but if this had been a fourth year, I think they were okay with it because they couldn't sign him. They just signed a quarterback to $50 million a year. They couldn't afford to do a long-term deal with them. And if you couldn't, that was going to be that. And I think that, now if Davante Adams was 25 and he had 26, he had 4 years in the league and they're getting ready to go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But that's not the case with Davante Adams. He's been around a little while. So I think they did that. But, yeah, your point is the same, and I think their point is the same. This is, we've seen it in Houston. John Wall and the Rockets just have mutually decided that, because John Wall said he was not going to play, he just didn't think it was right for him to play. Deshaun said, yeah, just not going to play for you anymore. At some point, even people who believe that they are for player empowerment, you have to understand this is going to hurt your enjoyment, your team. It's going to hurt your sport. It is beginning to hurt your sport. This is beginning to be a huge problem. This is secondary. When I went and visited Alabama, I was going to tell you some of this off the air. Boy, the comments about NIL from the guy who was walking us around, he is like, it is already ruining football. He goes, you have no idea what is happening.
Well,
here's
the deal.
He started telling stories about it.
Everybody's got their perspective. It's Alabama, so you're getting the best player from every high school in the country. Of course they're going to feel like they all should be paid and paid extravagantly. At different places, it's not nearly.
No. That's not what he was. I'll tell you off the air. That's not what he was talking about. He was telling me stories about friends who are at other programs, because he's been at other programs, of basically this is just because of, and I don't want to sidetrack it, but because of NIL and transfer portal rules changing immediately where there's no deterrent to sitting out. You can literally, guys are being recruited off of rosters. Yeah. And so.
Oh, it's awful.
So all the hard That's work awful. That coaches are doing are being yeah. just obliterated. It's just, he said, it's just a straight cash transaction. He said, I'm not saying that hasn't been around.
And it's cheating. It's cheating.
He said, I'm not saying it hasn't been around, but he goes, this is not what name, image, this has nothing to do with their name, their image, or their likeness.
Right.
They're not selling individual product. It's just a form of legalized cheating, and the NCAA never intended this to be the case. And he goes, I don't even know if the people, but I bring that up because it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is because now what high school kids are being told is you've got to get your numbers up as an influencer to have, you have to get your social media numbers up because when you have numbers, you have an opportunity to be, to have greater engagement with products. So when you have people, you say something, it matters more. It's the same concept of as an influencer, but now this is going to start happening when they're 10, 11, junior high school. You don't think Deshaun Watson is a grown-ass man, but look, I get high schoolers get excited about the hat thing, and now they're doing videos. Like, it's become an extravagant thing. They like that level of attention on themselves. It's their first time to get this, you know, unbelievable letter attention. Do you know what I see now? On a regular basis, there are graphics and long letters put out on Twitter because I look at these the player stuff. When you are guys who still had a year left because of COVID, they're making their big announcement things that they are headed to the pro. With all that said, they thank everybody. With all that said, I'm taking my talents. Or they'll make the exact same thing and then say, with that being said, I'm going back to school to do it again. And this time we're going to. Like, everyone has to have their, like, the same player will have their high school hat thing. I'm calling it that. You know what I'm talking about. Now they're going back to school post with a graphic. Now they're, I'm going pro post.
Right.
Now it's, you're going to regret not, there's transfer, huge transfer portal posts now for guys who don't even play. And all these, because, and I know this because when I go to a player social media page, they'll be retweeting one of their old teammates from UConn's, like, who cares? You sucked at UConn. Your team was terrible. UConn was Travis Jones. It's the only player over there. The rest of you guys were terrible. Who cares if you're transferring literally from UConn? You couldn't play there. Why do you have to have a post? And so this whole mindset, now we get to the pros, and you think, and listen, it's about your own self. It's not going to be about your team. In real life, it can be about both. You can look out for your own well-being, but at the same time, like, you can look out for yourself while at the same time being part of a team and trying to win collectively together. But that's what we're missing. And I get that Deshaun didn't like what happened with the Texans, but what we're seeing now, John, is this: as soon as you face any adversity at all, or you don't like something, that's it.
Yeah,
it's one or the other. That's why the transfer portal
fills up like that.
Fills up like that.
And Keyshawn dismissed the whole argument, the whole situation.
Right,
but Jay Will was like, "Where's the middle ground anymore? How can we sit down and can we talk? There's a perspective from ownership. There's a perspective from players. You got, but let's try to meet in some middle ground. Now it's just like, no, I'm out. No, I don't want it. I'm out of here.
And you're not talking. You're just posting social media, or you're leaking to someone, I'm requesting. Well, Baker Mayfield and Cleveland should have to talk this out right now. That's what.
Will they?
Well, Baker has already immediately requested a trade. And yes. What he did before that was do his little letter.
Yeah.
He had to do his
fans, right.
melodramatic letter right. so that you could know this is it, guys. This is it. And even if it doesn't, it's untenable. The fact is, Cleveland still, you still are under contract.
Yeah. No. He's got a year left on his deal. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I mean, the Browns apparently didn't notify him. They didn't tell Baker that they were going to see Deshaun. Although they told Baker, and his agent before, like in January or something, that they were going to, if they had a chance at a premier quarterback, that they were actually going to look into it. So, whatever the case may be, now we got drama in Deshaun, the consequences of Deshaun actually leaving Houston is now Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. That's what happened with that. That's how far reaching Deshaun is. Well, we'll find out. Apparently now he doesn't want to compete with the NCAA tournament for attention on where he's going. So he's going to make his announcement early next week. So he doesn't, well, he said he doesn't want to take away from all of that's going on. I think he just wants the stage to himself, if you want to know the truth. But we'll see. Drama! 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on this, you're more than welcome
to get in here. Want to hear from Texans fans who maybe you had Deshaun's back for a long time, and it didn't have to be about the civil cases or whatever. Maybe just through the – because I understand when you bring up Deshaun, it's layered and multifaceted. But maybe through the whole holdout stuff, you were on board and now you see it differently. I would like to hear from you because – This has gone beyond what I expected from Deshaun Watson. I don't know if this has to do with Watson, David Mulugeta. I don't know, but it's a bad look. I was listening to some people talk about the fact that they're really upset with, first of all, his response last Friday, and then immediately going into this made-for-TV event that he is creating and his team are creating right on the heels of, you think you want to be more low-profile and try to get that, you know. But this is as high profile as you can possibly be. And then supposedly, I guess they're going to drag it out. Until the weekend, because they want to have, they don't want it to be part of a Friday news dump. They want it to be its own thing.
Well, yeah.
Like, what? You
he
just came off
share of, the weekend with the NCAA tournament, would you?
When these depositions
he's Deshaun.
Go down. Okay, the next thing that has to happen is he has to just not go through any
all
more
right,
depositions.
We'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, you're talking about Maestro Dobell.
Maestro Dobell is, I'm getting more and more pictures of those of you who are purchasing Maestro Dobell and experiencing it, taking a shot, sending it to me. My guy, Sean, who's at a restaurant group, they are now carrying Maestro Dobell. He heard about it on the radio here. They tried it. They loved it. And now they want to carry it in all of their restaurants. I think they've got 3 or 4 restaurants around the Houston area. They're going to be carrying it. Our guy, the other Gilbert Gill, he had the Cristalino, the Diamante the other day, which is a charcoal-filtered tequila. It's made with 3 varieties. It's incredible. No matter what type of tequila you like, and you may not even know, you may not be somebody who is experienced with a lot of tequila other than a margarita. Listen, you should check out the Añejo, which is very, very smooth. The Reposado, which has a little bite and a little smoke to it. You should check out the smoke silver for a cocktail sometime for your margarita. There is a type of tequila that's going to make sense for you if you like tequila, whether it's cocktails, the margaritas, a sipping tequila. They've got you covered. And Friday's my day for Añejo, so I'll be having my weekly sip of my Añejo from Maestro Dobell.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, that Peacock win, how many 15 seeds have won now in the NCAA tournament? 15 over twos.
Noah already knows. I didn't look, though.
No, you know.
Total, ever?
Total,
right, how many,
ever.
Noah? Go ahead. Answer the question.
No. Do you know what Noah?
He knows.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah, he knows.
How many? 10. How many did you say? 9? No, this was number 10. 10 and 135 all time. against two seeds.
God, I remember when it was it was either Syracuse or Indiana got beat. I think it was maybe the Richmond, first time in the 80s.
When Richmond when beat Indiana?
It might have been Richmond. I think they were the first seed to lose.
I'm going to see if I can get a short. There's a short list of Oral Roberts beat Ohio State last year. Middle Tennessee beat Michigan State. Florida Gulf Coast over Georgetown. That was huge.
That was
awesome. Norfolk State over Missouri.
Here it is. I was right. Yeah, we were both right. Richmond beat Syracuse in 91.
Yep. Lehigh over Duke in 2012. Hampton in 2001 beat Iowa State. Remember that? Where he picked, the coach was picked up.
I remember all of these.
His legs were picked up. Yeah, 1997, Coppin State beat South Carolina. Yep, Santa Clara over Arizona in 1993.
There was a player on that Norfolk team that beat Missouri. I remember we were broadcasting. No, I wouldn't have been at the station anymore. But I remember the Norfolk. There was a really good basketball player from Norfolk that we were talking about. And the same thing at Hampton. There was a guy who was a baller at Hampton in 2001 that we talked about when we were at 610. But, yeah, Lehigh over Duke. Wow.
98% of CBS sports brackets picked Kentucky to win that game. So they're perfect. I mean, that's why it's almost as – I mean, the numbers are incalculable of how hard it is to win an NCAA, have a perfect bracket. And 98% were eliminated with that one game on the first day. 98%. So St. Peter's goes on, and that was just fun. That was just excellent. It's always so much fun. And then you got a kid from Bergen Catholic that's leading the way. So that's good, clean fun for the whole family. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Ben wants to get in here and talk about Deshaun Watson. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm sorry if you've already addressed this, but my question is, if Deshaun never had a no-trade clause, what is his actual worth, like, between the Panthers, Falcons, Saints, and the Browns? Like, what would they actually offer the Texans if he had a no-trade clause?
And there might be more teams involved, actually, too, if there was no trade clause, because Deshaun Watson is eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, if no trade clause is out, well, yeah, I mean, you still have, like, maybe Seattle's involved then. I don't know.
Yeah.
First of all, a team has to be okay with Deshaun.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the Steelers would be in it or not, but you would think the Steelers. I'm surprised San Francisco hasn't. Everyone's kind of whispered. I think if you gave a lie detector test to Kyle Shanahan, he'd say, man, I'm a little nervous about Trey Lance, but I know what I'd have with. I mean, we could be a major factor in the NFC for a long time with Deshaun Watson.
That's obvious.
Yeah, but they haven't made any overtures that we've seen. I think, and here's the reason why.
Well,
I think because of the Baker Mayfield situation, I don't think you want this getting out. We just talked about how sensitive players are now and how everything is me, no middle ground. You know, what damage does that do to Trey Lance if you are, because clearly Deshaun's team is going to make sure that whoever once is interested in him, they're going to broadcast it to every source they have because they want that to be part of what I would think would be a low profile situation after what Deshaun just went through. But instead, they're putting this under the big tent and they're turning this into a major circus. So do you want to be involved with that? If you want to do it on the low, San Francisco, like, listen, we're interested, but we don't want this getting out and hurting Trey Lance if it doesn't work out, because, you know, obviously he's going to be our quarterback of the future. You can't trust Watson's side for that. They're going to put it out there. They're going to put it out there, or the Texans will put it out there if the Texans get wind of it, because the Texans want to get as many parties involved as possible.
Well, so get wind of it, you can't talk to them unless you get. And the Texans are out there immediately putting it out there because there's more competition, and it raises the price.
I think both sides want it out there. Honestly, I think for the Texans it's a benefit, but it's a benefit for Deshaun's side to show everybody, look how many people want Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Wow. For all you other teams, look at this. This guy is still very marketable. All these teams want him. Clearly, they don't think that there's anything that happened because 22 went. He got no bill, so that means he's innocent, which I know that doesn't, but I'm saying his side could try to, push that narrative through. I just you can't limp halfway in, or what's going to happen is you're going to get stung like Cleveland did with Baker. You know, honestly, the Saints, Carolina, and really the Falcons have nothing to lose. Matt Ryan knows his time there. It's just a cap situation. But the Browns had something to lose, and now they've got Surly Shirley, who is penning letters, demanding trades. Who knows what's coming today on Instagram. Can't just do that with it. Like, Philadelphia can't do that with Jalen Hurts sitting there. Although Jalen, to me, is a mature, grown-ass dude. But it's still going to turn into a circus if you limp halfway in.
Well, Lamont yesterday tweeted, you know, he said, hey, why would the Browns have this public? It's not the Browns that are making this public. It's the Texans that are making this public. Because you're... But today he says that Sean don't like being disrespected, but openly choosing teams who are disrespecting their current quarterback, get his bum ass out of my city.
He's been saying a lot of that.
He's not a big Deshaun fan.
No.
And he called
him some ugly names the other day that would have gotten us canceled.
Deshaun comes back in 3 years with New Orleans, playing in NRG Stadium. Does he fill this? The Texans are still doldrums. Does he fill the stadium? And what's the response in 3 years when Deshaun comes back while he's playing for the Saints? Booze? Overwhelming booze?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it has to be, especially after it was probably going to be anyway. I think a majority was going to be booze, but after everything that's transpired.
Yeah.
Because there were people who were, you know, you and I both understood, well, I mean, I can see him not liking ownership. He's right. Ownership isn't competent.
Well, okay. But the Texans still suck. Okay, so we realize this is on the direction, the organization. They're just incompetent. We realize that. I don't know that there wouldn't be a lot of four jerseys out there going, yep, Deshaun, you were right. Deshaun.
Let me flip this.
Deshaun, you were right about this organization.
Those guys were never going to change anyway. If Deshaun, they will tell you nothing happened with 22 women. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen plenty of them.
I mean, I don't believe that, but I do believe. Listen, I don't believe that. Screw that. I think Deshaun was right to say, I want out of here. This place is too incompetent.
Cal, I can't
play for you.
So then you're saying that you agree with Baker to say there's no middle ground.
No. I
want out of here is exactly what that is.
Listen, if you have the opportunity to get out, get out.
But no, you just signed a contract. You don't have an opportunity to get out.
You're right. But I can't argue with Deshaun's thinking on it.
Frustration, I get. He handled it bad. You don't say I want out after
he signed. I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm just saying I understand Deshaun.
The frustration. You don't verbalize it through the media. You go. Here's what you know. What I would say to all the people who say, "Oh, see, Deshaun, they still suck." Yeah, they don't have Deshaun Watson.
No,
that hurts.
How about they're such an incompetent organization?
But they got rid of Bill O'Brien. This is my point. Do you think Nick Caserio is incompetent?
Well, we'll find out.
Do you think?
In 3 or 4 years, if they're still suck, then I will say yes. He's incompetent.
Do you think Nick Caserio is incompetent?
No.
Right now, do you think Lovie Smith's incompetent?
No.
Do you think that if Deshaun Watson were on this team with draft picks this year, with a third rounder being whoever it was last year, and Nick Caserio in charge of the draft, and Lovie Smith as a head coach, and I don't think David Culley would have been the coach if Deshaun Watson
and
were
if
here.
Deshaun
it would have
been a different and coach. And if Deshaun Watson was here, they possibly could get better free agents in here.
They could, and it would be better. Now, you wouldn't have all the draft picks that he'll bring, supposedly. But
right.
But what I'm saying is, Deshaun would have made this a better team with his very presence.
Yes.
They would have gotten better quickly.
Yes.
What they were missing, even if Cal is incompetent, which I firmly believe he is.
Now you ask the questions. Do you think Cal is incompetent?
Yes.
Do you think Jack Easterby is incompetent?
Probably not anymore.
Do you think that he...
He was one of the reasons they got to this.
Do you think that he should be making major decisions in an NFL organization?
Jack?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
Then, okay.
He was one of the reasons
who
got him.
And this is where it starts at the top.
Deshaun could have got rid of
him. Despite Nick Caserio...
John, Deshaun...
Oh, I don't know
Deshaun,
that.
Oh, yes.
Especially after the 22.
Deshaun could have said, I'm not going anywhere. If Jack Easterby's gone. Jack Easterby would have been gone.
I don't think so. I do.
They wouldn't have stuck with a youth pastor over an elite NFL quarterback.
Who has a more undying love Daryl for James or Cal for Jack Easterby? I don't know. That's a coin flip.
Daryl for James is
That's an 8-9 matchup. I'm telling you, that's even money.
I don't know.
Cal,
Daryl has given extensions to James 3 times so far. And it might be a fourth.
Preacher has a $5 million deal with an NFL team.
But here's the thing. O'Brien is the one who... See, those of you who thought this O'Brien thing wasn't a big deal, you guys, screw you guys. It makes me mad that you even ever thought... O'Brien did so much damage, all of this, literally everything other than the 22 women, because that was going to happen no matter what. But literally everywhere we are today... is because of Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is the one who brought in Jack. Brought in Jack, and Bill O'Brien is the one who ended up giving the thumbs up to knife Brian Gain. That's Bill O'Brien.
You are not giving Easterby enough credit.
Jack Easterby doesn't happen without Bill O'Brien.
Well, I know, but he was directly
responsible for everything.
Okay, hey, Jack. You gotta go tell Cal that we're gonna get rid of DeAndre Hopkins.
John, I know that, but he's the one who got rid of Brian Gain. It had to be his okay because Brian was his GM. He and Brian Gain were working together.
You sure it wasn't Easterby that said, hey, we can get
Jack
Caserios?
Jack Easterby is the one. Jack Easterby didn't have to come and accept Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien opened the door to all this.
Well, that's right.
Every move he made, Jack Easterby, the contract to Watson, the contract to Tunsil, the move for Tunsil, firing Chris Olsen, DeAndre Hopkins taking on the terrible money of David Johnson, all of this gets traced back to one man and his sycophant
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, and I've given him plenty of shine. I've given Jack lots of shine.
Hey, Robin played a big role too.
There's no question he did. Is no Robin without Batman.
No, that's right. My point. But
I'm not saying he didn't. But Batman, nothing happens without Batman. Robin's just. No, I'm not going to say it.
745 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
At a second where I thought.
Don't.
And I'm like,
rethink.
You know what? No. I'm not going to.
Save your job. Time to talk right now about GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf and my man. He is awesome at what he does. John Clay Wolf is going to be right here for you, giving you all you can possibly get. I'm telling you, if you get a bigger offer from somebody else, something went wrong along the way. And John Clay Wolf will make amends. He will give you $100 if CarMax can beat his offer. And CarMax ain't beating his offer. If John Clay Wolf doesn't beat CarMax's offer, he will send you $100. And he does, you know what he never does? Send you $100. Because he is awesome at what he does. He is going to give you the most for your car. He's crazy. He's going to be on the air tomorrow morning. He says stuff that you go, ooh, not sure you should have said that on a radio. But he does that all the time. And here's the deal, if you don't care what people say, but you'll take as much money as you possibly can for your vehicle, then you're going to be good with John Clay Wolf. Or you might love what he says, and he's still going to give you all that money for your vehicle. That's what John Clay Wolf do all the time. GiveMeTheVin.com, that's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with you at 713-780-3776. Let's get Anthony in here. He wants to talk about Deshaun. What's up, Anthony?
How you doing, guys? Best show ever.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. So my whole thing is with trading Deshaun Watson, in my opinion, I don't have the faith in the Texans. Even if they got, I don't know, the next 5 first round overall draft picks and they're trading Deshaun Watson, I think they're too stupid to get another quarterback like Deshaun Watson. So I know they're never going to do this, but what's the worst that can happen if they just basically go to Deshaun and be like, hey, we're not going to trade you. We're going to force you to, you know, play your contract, or we're going to just sue you. Because I don't think they're ever going to get a quarterback any close to him. Even if they go draft Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett or whatever.
Well, none of those guys are Deshaun. None of those guys are Deshaun. So, I mean, there is no Deshaun in this draft. Who knows when the next Deshaun is going to come along? You're right in that respect. That's not going to happen. I don't know that it's because they're too stupid. It's just because there's nobody there. So I don't know that. Would they be able to, like, you know, Denver just finagled Russell Wilson? Is there any chance that they can go and find somebody? Listen, I don't know what Davis Mills is. We'll find out what Davis Mills is. But I don't think that they're going to screw up all the picks. I don't think that they're going to get another Deshaun Watson. You're right there. But I don't know that they're going to screw up all the picks. I have faith in Nick Caserio that he is going to do. He's a talent evaluator. We got to give him a chance, at least. At the very least, let's give him a chance. You can't force Deshaun to play here. First of all, I don't think the Texans want him here. With all of the drama, with all of the stuff that's been said, with the criminal accusations, with the civil stuff still hanging over.
The whole attitude.
With the fingers and the rub downs and all the stuff. That's not that this organization wants as the face of their franchise.
Nah, it's Deshaun. It's already, like, to him, he burned his own bridge willingly. He never wants to play for the Texans again.
No, and I don't think they want him either.
He fundamentally does not believe in Cal McNair and never wants to play for Cal McNair. I get that. But Cal McNair was the owner, and DeAndre Hopkins was already traded when you signed your contract. It does look sketchy.
Yeah.
The timeline looks sketchy. And the timeline of when you decided that you didn't want to be a Texan anymore. Hopkins had already been traded. You had already played a whole season
This is a David Mulligan to play. It's what David Mulligan does.
Exactly. So that's one thing. So some people will be upset about 22 civil suits. Some people will be upset about how he, quote-unquote, quit on the team. Some people will be upset about how he's handled this entire thing. Some people will be... there's enough things... if you add them up, that the fan base, by and large, I'm not saying things wouldn't potentially go back to pseudo-normal over time, but I just think it's asking too much for Deshaun Watson to play for the Texans, really, frankly, on both sides. So that's dead. I mean, you can hold on to that dream and that hope that something magically changes, but apparently his side wants to make this a really big spectacle. I guess word is going to drop on Sunday. They don't want it to get lost in the Friday news cycle. They want it to be discussed ad nauseum. So it'll probably get announced on Sunday, Sunday afternoon or evening, so that you start off your Monday shows with Deshaun talk. I just can't believe that after all the stuff that we've seen for this long, you wouldn't want to just keep a low profile. Just keep your head down and just go play, like say, okay, it's about ball now. Go do your contrition tour, but there's not going to be a contrition tour. There's not going to be any. Remember when we talked about an interview with Robin Roberts or Oprah or whatever?
Right.
That ain't happening now.
No, it ain't happening.
That's not happening because Deshaun believes, told you, everything's fine. And I know some of you out there believe this was all a shakedown from the very beginning and nothing happened. And okay, if you choose to believe that this, but I've also seen outlandish conspiracy theories that gain national traction. So I understand that conspiracy theorists are willing to believe anything that they're told. They're willing to believe anything they're told or that they can conceive of, I should say. But I'm just shocked that Deshaun's side wants to really, like, are y'all sure you want to do this? Have this much, like, it's just a bad look for Watson. It's a really bad look for him to turn this into the decision. I mean, that's what they're doing.
Yep.
They're eliminating. Listen to what Josina. I'll show you what Josina Anderson, what she said. And this just, I just think this is just such a, it just, I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. I know you read it too. You know what it is. So see what you think. But let me get, I'm told the who's who of Atlanta, I'm told the who's who of Atlanta from members of the Braves, Hawks, the music world, including Lil Baby and Quavo, have all from, no word if Offset's reached out or any of the other Migos, or as I call them, Amigos, just to make my kids mad, that they've all reached out to Deshaun Watson to let him know, quote, we want him home, per source. Also told, it's, quote, been down to two teams since yesterday. World's just finding out now. Like, this tells you that it is, she was given this, that, you know, the rest of the world thought it was, but listen, we started at four.
World's just finding out.
It's been down to two. Oh, my God. It was four, and then, like, Carolina has been eliminated. So they had to have their day. They were eliminated, right? The whole day they were eliminated. Then the next day, Cleveland is out of the running, and Cleveland has been, they were the weakest link. So Cleveland got eliminated. So they were a whole day eliminated. So you would think that, okay, so today, are we finally done? Are the Boys and Girls Club coming? Is Jim Gray coming? Are you going to wear a plaid shirt and do the decision? Like, what are we doing here? And then word's starting to leak out that this is going to be Sunday because Friday is the news dump day, and they don't want to get lost in the discussion.
Is he going to have, honestly, is he going to have a Saints hat and a Falcons hat? And this is getting to that dramatic.
I would just tell you this. I would say no. But if you gave me Vegas odds and you made it a huge long shot, I'd put a little something on it. I don't know if it'll be a hat, but will there be an announcement made where he chooses between two sides?
Yes.
On an Instagram Live, it won't be a Facebook, but on an IG Live, will there be a big Twitter Live thing or a space? Is somebody going to pay him to do it on a podcast? Will there be a live announcement on a platform other than a leak from... Now, the favorite is Adam Schefter and Rappaport will get it at the same time, and they'll both dual report it. That's the favorite. However...
Oh, if Mulugeta... If Quincy and Mulugeta and Deshaun have their way, they keep this thing so tight.
See, I don't think
so
Quincy
nobody.
Wants any... Quincy's got to, like... Quincy is his personal coach. He's personal coach for a lot of guys, including Trey Lance. Like, I don't know that Quincy wants all this drama in his life because he's got to work with teams. And, I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
And and guess what? He never had to do a
Yeah, but
deposition.
What did he tweet out after the...
They got his deposition pushed
after
back.
After the no-bill, what did he put? What did
I don't
put
know.
I mean...
He probably put something.
Yeah, everybody put something out there.
Yeah, he probably put something.
Anyway, it's drama. Well, hopefully this is done. I can't wait. Carlos signed somewhere. You know what? Do it quietly and go somewhere. And Deshaun, pick a team and then go there.
I don't feel like that. I feel like we're just waiting to see what the numbers are. I don't feel like there's drama. The only drama with the Carlos thing, like, I don't see things being reported about
this person.
Carlos is down to these amount of teams. But if it happens, it's going to be gross.
Well, he's
Carlos
not because
too.
I don't think the market is out there with that anywhere near what any of them thought. I think that's the problem with this.
Yeah, guess
that's
what?
That's not drama. That's like,
and everyone who
holy
thought
crap,
there,
what
everyone
happened?
Who thought there wasn't going to be a market for Deshaun? This is what you need to remember. There's always a market
for guys
who can play.
Well, if at a price now,
and
too,
as soon as Deshaun,
at a price, too.
As soon as Deshaun picks
it's
a team.
It's different. Correa and Deshaun are
Deshaun's
totally different.
Deshaun's going to be a Falcon. Get ready for that. Here's the dominoes that are going to fall. Deshaun is a Falcon. The Falcons now look to trade. It's either going to be Seattle, Pittsburgh, or the Colts, where you will see Matt Ryan go to one of those teams. So, you know, I mean, why not get Matt Ryan out of your go throw him in the AFC somewhere.
Yep. All right. When we come back, more on Carlos Correa and this Deshaun and the NCAA tournament and you, 713-780-3776. Right now I'm talking about MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You're too late to get into the My Bracket contest, but that's okay. You can still bet on the games. Did you have St. Pete's last night plus 18? You know what you never sweat? 1 second of St. Pete's. Five Star is going to be here a little bit later in the show, and you're going to have some winners. He had winners yesterday, but where are you going to bet them? You're going to bet them at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Look, if you're looking for the best way to win and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. There's player props, there's game props, there's first half, there's second, there's live betting. It's nonstop. You've got 16 more games today. Are you going to have some action on them? Of course you are. Why would you watch them without any action? All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.